This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make that happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. What was unexpected? How about that G-spot, that grand slam by Harper to give the Phillies the steal job on the Cubs after being down 5-1 in the ninth. Crazy. Harper getting hot, on fire, unexpectedly stunning the Cubs. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. This weekend, Big 3 basketball wraps up its regular season with teams fighting for playoff positioning. And on Sunday, it's NFL preseason action with the Saints at the Chargers. And it all happens on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. I walked into the studio tonight, and I looked over at Carver High, and he said, "It's a game changer tonight." And I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "The yammer." I'm like, oh, I mean, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I couldn't even... I was like walking, I had all my bags, Carver High's like, "The yammer." And I'm like, I just stopped everything I was doing. And I said, "This is beautiful," because I had just said to him, "We got to get a little Pac-12 football talk going on the bench. Get a hold of the yammer." And we got him tonight after he spent a day, I think, with the Shaw Stanford Cardinal program. Yammer, how you been, buddy?
Oh, that might be the best introduction I've ever had before. So I appreciate that. Good to talk with you and be back on with you. And you're right. It is that time of the year where we get to talk a little football. And you are correct. I was at Stanford today, Mel Tucker and Colorado yesterday, and the day before that, Chris Peterson and his crew in Seattle. So a little bit of a whirlwind the last 3 days, but it's that time of the year, so let's get after it.
So what's the deal with KJ Costello and the ability that Stanford has now with on their doorstep at home, Huskies and Duck games in Palo Alto? Can they take advantage?
Yeah, you know, I actually wasn't exactly sure what to expect from this team other than KJ Costello, because I think it's abundantly clear while people are going to be talking about Tua and Justin Herbert, and both those guys absolutely deserve the love and the praise that they've been getting, and certainly the NFL draft hype. KJ Costello, to me, is in that conversation for third, fourth, no worse than fifth. Quarterback that I think is going to be taken in the NFL draft. The guy can make all the plays. Today he was resting a little bit. He did some individual drills, wasn't out there though. For some of the 7-on-7 stuff, I think the staff is just trying to make sure he's 100% healthy at the start of the year with the season right around the corner. Got to, not to get in the weeds, but Davis Mills, who was actually in that Elite 11 class with Tua. I was spent some time with those guys a few years ago. He's been banged up, but he looked terrific today in practice. But I think the biggest takeaway is, for as much talk as there is about Stanford and the losses they have in terms of the skill position spot, I actually think they had a couple of guys that looked really good today. I think it's good news for the conference because I think it just creates more parity. But that North Division right now is an absolute gauntlet for whoever comes out of it.
So Colorado, you went to see Mel Tucker, new coach, and they got 5 road games in conference. That's just nasty. And they were... 4-8? What are you looking at with the Buffaloes?
Yeah, the Buffs last year, remember, they were the last Pac-12 undefeated team. And then Laviska Shenault, who, in my opinion, Pharrell, he is the best wide receiver in the country. There was a time last year, those first few weeks of the season, you know this. I mean, we're never talking about, a wide receiver. It's rare. It's a quarterback award for the Heisman. He started to insert himself into that conversation, and I don't think what people realize is he actually got banged up in the Week 2 matchup in the Nebraska game and still was able to ball out. And then the toe injury just got worse and worse, got really banged up in the SC game. And once he left, it kind of derailed their season a little bit. Laviska was terrific yesterday. There's a new sense of urgency. And I think what was cool to see them at practice, the amount of pace that they were playing with, which is something that you didn't see a whole lot of. Saw some Wildcat Will LaVisca, which was part of their package last year, but he's such a dangerous playmaker. Got a senior quarterback in Steven Montez. They have some pieces right now. I just think the biggest question for them is where are those expectations on the defensive side? I think right now they're a little thin, but you and I both know Mel Tucker's got that defensive background. He's been in the SEC, been around winning programs. I think it's just a matter of time before the Buffs start getting back into that conversation for Pac-12 champs.
Mike Gamm, Pac-12 studio host, of course, on the Pac-12 Network. Chip Kelly, year two, what do we expect in Westwood?
You know, have you talked to Chip before?
I have, but not since he's been at UCLA.
All right, so you know, like, Chip, you know, at times, you got to be on guard, right? Like when you talk to him. And I made the mistake a couple weeks ago at Pac-12 Media Day by letting him know. I was like, oh, last year you guys were really young. It was the most amount of freshmen, true freshmen, that had played in a game in UCLA history for football. And he corrected me and said, no, we weren't just young last year. We're young again this year. This roster is loaded. I think that it's like close to 50 dudes that are freshmen and sophomores that are going to be out there. They have an explosive quarterback in Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but I think the positive here is when you looked at the way the season started for them and offensively where they ended up, it was almost like night and day. They have one of the nicest kids you will – and I don't even know, like in football – calling a kid nice might not be the best thing in the world, but you cannot take the smile off Joshua Kelly's face. And the more and more time I spend around this kid, he's such a great kid. He's impossible not to root for, but he secretly became one of the better running backs in the country a year ago. I still think, Pharrell, that schedule is pretty daunting. Some metrics have it as like a top 10 most difficult schedule in the country. So I think it's hard to navigate, especially with the But I don't know if it's this year, but I think next year and certainly in year number four, that roster should be loaded to compete for a Pac-12 championship.
Kevin Sumlin's second team in Tucson. They got Khalil Tate. They got Colin Schooler. But a brutal schedule in the conference. I think they play on the road at USC, Stanford, Oregon, and obviously their rival Arizona State. It won't be easy for Sumlin.
No, I mean, and look, Tate was 2 years ago when he burst onto the scene. I mean, there's a reason why last year he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Heisman Talk. He was as dangerous a player as there was in college football. Last year, injuries, change maybe an offensive philosophy, that was a problem. I haven't seen them in person. I had some friends and colleagues that were down in Tucson over the last week or so, and they said he looks closer to what he was 2 years ago, which is a great sign. You mentioned Schooler. That's the biggest key for me. I mean, J.J. Taylor, once again, I mean, this conference was loaded at running back. Taylor, who I always root for because he's like 5'7", so if I'm taller than you on a football field and you can ball out, I'm a fan of yours.
I like that.
Taylor was that guy. But, you know, I think the biggest question for them is defensively. They had massive problems trying to get to the quarterback last year. Those guys have to be better because top three in this league in terms of points per game and yards per game, that's what they did last year. That wasn't the problem for them. It was stopping guys. And once again, that's like the biggest question around Sumlin's team in year two.
So Mike Leach, you know, they won 11 games. I don't know how he lives up to that. He's got a transfer quarterback. I know they have a bunch of games in Pullman, though. That should help.
Yeah, that'll definitely help. The one thing that's interesting is we know that offensively guys are just going to be able to produce. Gardner Minshew was one of the better stories, I think, in college football last year. He was going to go to Alabama. He was going to finish out his playing career, become a GA, and hang it up and be a coach. And then Minshew gets that call from Mike Leach, and he goes, do you want to lead the country in passing? And then turns out he decides not to transfer to Alabama, heads to Pullman, was in that top 10 for voting for the Heisman, threw for a billion yards, ends up getting drafted. So great story for him. It's now how do you replace the leadership and the moxie that he had? Turns out the grad transfer that they get in from the FCS was player of the year in that conversation the last couple years at that level, Gage Gabrud. And for me, if he's able to be that plug and play and really thrive, I mean, technically, if you're kind of looking at it from that macro lens, you'd say that Gage is more accomplished than Minshew was heading into this. Now, Gardner obviously had spent some time in that the air raid and understanding kind of that Hal Mummy style of offense, so it wasn't a hard transition. But look, I mean, I said this before, man, the North is just loaded in the Pac-12 this year. It's going to be tough for him.
Mike Gamm with us, Pac-12 Network. So How about Helton bringing in Graham Harrell to run the offense at USC? And how do you think JT Daniels will do in that air raid type scheme?
Yeah, get the ball out quicker, right? I mean, offensive line has been a little bit of an issue for USC. I actually like it. You don't typically see air raid offenses with the type of talent. Of course, it happens in college football, but generally speaking, you know, look at SC's lineup, especially at the skill position spot with their wide receivers. Their top three guys are going to be Sunday dudes. So for me, that's a bonus. When your offensive line has had the problems that they've had in previous years, you know, getting the ball out in 2.5 seconds or less probably is a recipe for success. JT was thrust into this massive hype machine. You're the starting quarterback at USC. You're a household name, and you're in that Heisman conversation. That's, you know, the Matt Leinarts of the world. Those are the types that have been able to do it, the Barkleys, the Sanchezes. So I think the reality was maybe the pressure was a little bit too much or the hype was too much, and we're talking about a young kid who just need a little bit more time to develop. Install takes 3 days in that air raid. They've talked about how simple it is, how guys are thriving right now in that offense. SC has got the talent to win the Pac-12 championship this year. I don't know if it happens. I looked at those first six games, bro. It is murderer's row for that team. Clay Helton's got an uphill battle those first few weeks, but I think they have an opportunity to go 4-2 in that stretch.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really too much to ask of that team, to be honest with you. The way they've played, I just think they've been a little bit stale. The two teams that I think, obviously everyone probably thinks, Washington and Oregon are the teams that are so dangerous. But before I get to them, I want to talk about Zach Moss and Utah. This is a decent team with a great running back. What can they do?
Pharrell? Everyone nationally is going to talk about Oregon. They're going to talk about the recruiting class, the fact that they have Justin Herbert. Totally makes sense. The job that Chris Peterson has done in previous years, Eason, the players they put in the NFL on defense, totally get it. I look at Utah this year, and I think they are, as of right now, what are we, August 15th? Middle of this month, less than 20 days to the start of the season. For me, the team with the fewest amount of questions in this league is Utah. You mentioned Zach Moss. I'll throw Tyler Huntley's name into the mix. Last year, being in Kyle Whittingham's office, I had said to him, hey, don't you look at this roster and go, damn, like, we're really going to be good in another year. He wanted to talk about last season, which I get. A roster that was loaded with sophomores and juniors a year ago, now juniors and seniors this year, they have NFL guys all over their defense. I think legitimately, Pharrell, they have an opportunity to navigate that schedule, get through the conference, 9-game conference slate, a little bit more difficult than what they're doing in the SEC and the ACC. But the reality is they are a dark horse team to get to the college football playoff. They are that good, and there's very few questions I have about that football team right now.
So how do you think Mike Gamble, this Pac-12 Network, Jacob Eason will do for Washington? And do you believe that they're better than Herbert and Oregon?
You know, I think it's really, really close. It's funny you mentioned Eason. I was at practice 2 days ago, and it's almost like a foregone conclusion the more and more people I've talked to, especially nationally. They focus in on Eason, five-star guy, obviously the connection with Georgia. And to me, I think people are downplaying the real quarterback competition. I mean, it was pretty even in terms of reps between Jake Haner and Jacob Eason. Eason looks the part. It looks like the show pony when he's out there, right? But Haner comes in, you know, he's like 6'1", makes all the throws, has been around this team a little bit longer than Eason has. I think at the end of the day, it's still probably Eason. They have a freshman wide receiver named Puka Nacua, who he had like three moments in practice where I was like, oh my God, like that's ridiculous. Those wow moments that you want to see. He's explosive there. And if you're worried about the 8 starters that they lost on defense, let me just tell you this, man. Defensively, I'm a little concerned about linebacker. Didn't see a ton of playmakers there. That secondary has not missed a beat based off of last season. Loaded in the secondary. They looked absolutely fantastic, and it's going to be close between Oregon and Washington in that mix. Not going to count out Stanford either.
I can't wait to see where Herbert goes in the draft at the end of the day. You know what I mean? When you're going up against guys like that he's going to be going up against, the quarterback class of the next draft, how high do you think he'll go?
Yeah, I think he's got a real opportunity to be the first quarterback taken off the board. And I know people will focus in on Tua, and I get it. And Tua's in that conversation, no doubt. And he's going to have the opportunities to have massive headlines because he's at Alabama. I think the biggest thing for Justin Herbert is going to be, one, can his receivers hold on to the football? I saw one draft expert last year talking about Herbert saying, hey, the completion percentage has dipped a little bit. Well, you're not really watching the tape as much, because if you look at all the drops on the wide receivers, their staff charted it at, I think, about 52 drops on the season. It was a massive problem for that offense. He adjusted, Cristobal did, with this recruiting class, brings in a bunch of wide receivers, a transfer, Juwan Johnson from Penn State. He looks the part as well. So I think that is going to be helpful to this team's offense. But Herbert, to me, is going to be in that conversation, has an opportunity in week one against Auburn, have a big game there, national television, got plenty of eyes. And if he can take over in a critical moment, to me, that could be the difference for him to rise his stock for the NFL.
The Yammer setting the standard tonight with a complete grasp of the Pac-12 football season upon us. Terrific stuff. Mike Yam of Pac-12 Network. Yammer, fantastic. I love you. Great to catch up. I'll talk to you soon throughout the season.
Absolutely, man. You know, anytime you need me, just give me a buzz.
All right, Mike Yam of Pac-12 Network with us on a bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
855-212-4227. Carver High, what did we have going on earlier here a few seconds ago? No one heard it, but what happened?
I mean, sometimes you got to wait a little while, and if you're hitting a little too hard, you know, and –
if you're
sometimes
working
you pass
it,
out.
if you got a little action going, sometimes you gotta stay focused, and then sometimes you might slip off into oblivion.
Sometimes
these things happen. It's unbelievable the pressure some of these people are under. It's clear to me now that they are under a tremendous amount of pressure. All right, let's try Joe in Houston. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, what's up, Pharrell?
Joe, what's up, Joe? It's crazy, Joe!
Yeah, pull me a J, Pharrell.
What's going on, Joe?
What's going on, man? Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm so happy. Pull me a J.
Where you been, Joe?
Man, I've been Hey, man, my baby. You know, I had the baby, Pharrell. I had to just chill, man, you know. I laid it down for a little bit, you know.
So you had another baby.
I told you that. You know, I told you that the last time we talked. I told you she was on the way.
Right.
You know?
So when did you have her?
Well, I didn't have her. Hold on. My wife had her.
Right. But what's the difference?
Yeah. Man, I'm just happy to talk to you, man. I ain't got to talk to you in a minute, man.
I mean to tell you, Joe, I thought you fell off the face of the earth.
No, I'm still alive, man. And guess what, man? We got Russell Westbrook, man.
What is he talking about?
We got Westbrook.
I know. It's great. I think they're going to be awesome together. Harden and Westbrook. Are you kidding me? Just like the old days when they were young. And now they're just both veteran and better, and they know more, and they're able to do more. I think when they were young and stupid, they were so exciting. I think being older and more experienced now, both of them together, they could be very dangerous.
Man, I can't wait, man. It's like H-Town turn up, man. The Astros are good. You know, my Texans on the ride, man. It feels good to be from Houston for real.
And they got Dana Holgorsen down there with the Cougs. They're going to turn that football program into something. They were already decent, and I think now they're going to be even better.
Man, it's going to be better, man. It's like an H-Town turn-up, man. You know what I'm saying? Did you think Chris Paul was hindering us, man? I did. I thought that.
I did for sure. You could tell that, to me, it seemed as though – the signs were on the wall that his best days were behind him.
Yes, and I love that, man. That's why I love talking to you, man. You know what, man, A-Town, let me tell you something. Grinky, Astro, we can wreck this whole thing for real. That's why I love talking to you, man, and appreciate you taking my call, brother.
My man, Joe, congrats on the baby. Good to hear from you again. Obviously, tomorrow, Verlander going for the Astros against Tanner Roark and the A's. Did you see the A's? Carver High had picked up Matt Dark Knight Harvey, who has lost. Has he lost his status with a nickname? I think he has. He's undeserving of a nickname now. He's just Matt Harvey.
Dark Knight Rises.
That's all over with.
That's it.
There's no more dark anything. His game's gone dark.
Dark days whenever he's on the mound.
Yeah, he's just been so awful. It really is unbelievable how the mighty have fallen. Remember that guy? He was a rock star in New York, and now he just absolutely sucks. I mean, it's crazy, right, how fast and fleeting that fame and fortune is? I mean, that guy was everything here and there. Do you remember the obsession with that guy, with the media? Oh, my God. They just pick whoever they want it to be. Now it's this Alonzo kid. They're gonna run him up the flagpole. I mean, they are. They just pick whoever they want to be a celebrity, and they run with it. I mean, they really do.
You got to have a good head on your shoulders, otherwise it gets you. That's why everyone gets on Trout about, like, you know, not really being out there, not just like he's so quiet and just plays baseball and that's it. But you know what? Maybe that's how you survive. That's how you survive sometimes.
Maybe it's true.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Who's got the best football snags in college and pro? PharrellOnTheBench.com, that's who. Plus baseball through the World Series, boxing and MMA, all the biggest fights. We hit more than anybody anywhere every day. It's every game, every pick, every play. The best picks, the best price. Buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com. You're going to love my college and pro plays all season long. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. So Fox Sports came out with a list of the best college football states. It says right here that Michigan is the best state for college football, with the University of Michigan and Michigan State makes up the percentage, 71% winning percentage, college football, the best in Michigan. Alabama, with Alabama and Auburn, 66% win percentage in terms of best college football states. Obviously, Alabama carrying the weight there. Florida, number three, with the Gators, Canes, and Noles. Florida, number three. Number four, Pennsylvania, with Penn State and Pitt. No one's afraid of Pitt anymore. Let's get real here for a second. They matter about as much as my fingernails. Georgia has Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech sucks, right? I mean, let's get real here. You know what I mean? Like, so are you willing to, because I don't agree with Michigan, Michigan State being the best. The best football state is because of Michigan and Michigan State? You got to be kidding me.
No.
What do you think it is? Would you say Florida?
Florida's got to be up there.
I mean, and it's not just...
They have so many teams.
It's not just those
two. They
have
so many prominent teams in Florida.
Central Florida now, FAU,
right,
all those schools. FIU has been better.
Just besides the big three, of course, between the U and Florida and FSU.
Right.
In the past few years, you've had UCF become a player. You've had South Florida become a player.
Sure.
Like you said, Lane's got those guys down there. And who's at the other place? Butch? Is Butch at the other one?
At FIU.
Right. So, I mean, you would think right now, just in the sheer amount of teams that they've got down there.
And I'd give you, Alabama and Auburn is huge. I'm not going to deny that. But I got to go Florida. It's just got to be Florida.
I mean, Texas might be in the mix, too, with some of those smaller teams coming up the last couple of years.
How are they not even mentioned, Texas?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just in, a couple hundred miles, you got, six or seven, Division I colleges with at least three of them being good at any given time?
Yeah, I would say Texas has to be in the conversation. And certainly, in my view, more than Michigan. No offense. But
just two schools versus
Western
seven?
Michigan, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan. Nobody gives a rat's ass about them. Let's face facts. You know it. You go to school there. You live there. You still know I'm right.
Most people don't even know those schools have football teams.
They play on Thursday nights and Friday. Thank God, so we can watch Mac football on Friday nights in here. I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get. You know what I mean? So, can you even believe that next Saturday is Miami and Florida playing college football and it counts? And then Sunday, I go to Vegas. And then the 26th, Monday, we start doing five shows there, Mafia, at the D.
It's nuts. I was just thinking about that today. I'm like, okay, this weekend I got, this going on. I can bring my daughter back to Montreal. And I'm like, all right, next weekend, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going to Vegas already next weekend. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, so.
Summer's already over.
It is over. I mean, because next week, when the Canes play the Gators, that's it. It's official. Next Saturday, it's officially over, the summer, because they're playing football.
Gone.
I mean, just Saturday, and then, when we're in Vegas at the D, we're going to be in the View Bar every night, 7 p.m. local time, 10 East, doing the show live at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Five nights, Monday through Friday. Come see us live, second floor of the D. Can you imagine? Because that week, I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's just endless college football games. There's so many you could, get dizzy.
Got to make that money.
And then obvious
before preseason football and college football.
I mean, it's just outrageous how many football games are going to be going on. I'm looking forward to it. I love being there when there's football going on. There's nothing like there really is nothing like Vegas when there's football games on the board. And there's, you know, every single TV's got a different college football game going. It's just all day long. It's fantastic. So, the Eagles, wasn't one of the stories tonight, one of their quarterbacks got hurt. I think they had a problem.
Cody Kessler was in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, so he got rung up.
They're down to pretty much nobody.
Really? Is that their situation now?
If you remember, wasn't it last week they had the one guy get hurt?
Right, isn't Sudfeld out, what, 6 weeks?
Sudfeld yeah, got he hurt. Broke his wrist.
And now tonight Kessler gets hurt. Wentz hasn't really been playing any real action.
Well, it does say here that Carson Wentz is ready to put a stamp on Philadelphia and the NFL. It says here he's the greatest quarterback that ever lived. And that I've seen all this, that they're so much better with him than Nick Foles. Can you imagine hearing that? Can you imagine listening to that after the guy won you a Super Bowl and an MVP of the Super Bowl and they still think the other guy's better?
Listen, by what they've shown you in games, obviously the kid has more talent. But until he can stay on the field for a whole season and get you to the promised land like Foles did when you threw him in there in this, you know, the start spots, you can't give him that credit. You can't say, oh, yeah, he's so much better because, yeah, talent-wise he is, but he hasn't taken you to where that guy did.
$128 million they invested in him, even with all of his injuries. Can you imagine? So, that physical talent aside, he's got tons of that. That separated Wentz. You know, they're talking about how comfortable he is in his own skin and this and that. What does that have to do with anything? Seriously.
Your physical talent aside, what they're putting aside, a Super Bowl championship aside.
They obviously all buy in on him. Jason LaCanfora, our buddy, wrote after watching him, I am on board with Carson Wentz as an MVP hype. Not that he wasn't always in great shape, but he looks incredibly lean and agile this summer, unencumbered by a knee brace. He was slinging the ball all over the place at the practice I observed. There is so much multiplicity and versatility in his assortment of receivers and tight ends, and with a forward-thinking coach, the sky's the limit on offense. Do you think that the Eagles will capitalize on all this hype and their great quarterback? That's what they call him. Wentz is great, right? He's the man. Who's always injured. But he's the man. So do you think they'll get it done with Carson Wentz at the helm and win it all? Will they win the East and win it all? Well, that's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. It's going to be very tough with some of the other teams in the NFC, especially out West. They have a good shot at the East, especially if this Cowboys drama keeps playing out. If they don't have these guys all signed and happy by the time the season starts, that could definitely hand the Eagles the division. But I don't know if they're going to win and get through in the playoffs. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to squeak by the Bears again like they did last year or, you know, beat the Rams. Now, Wentz has incredible amounts of talent. The guy was going to be an MVP probably before he hurt his leg out in L.A. But you got to see him. Yeah, he's doing great in practice, but you can't hit him. Let's see him in an NFL game. You know, by week six, is he still standing up, still upright, not banged up, not, you know, on the shelf for a couple weeks? That's what we have to see from him.
So it says here that if he's able to handle the rigors of a 16-game season, the 2018 season was a bit of a wash due to injuries to both Wentz and the players around him. Is that not the story of every team? The injuries?
It's the NFL.
It's the NFL. So, but they act like everything would have been great if they wouldn't have gotten injured. But they did get injured, and he has gotten injured. He's gotten injured the last couple of seasons. So they have the team around it. The Eagles have the premier head coach, allegedly, in Doug Peterson. I'll give him that. He won a Super Bowl. Top five offensive line, one of the best defenses, and coach Jim Schwartz. 10 is the win total at Caesars. The promised land of a Super Bowl victory is achievable with this franchise quarterback under center. Without him, they're talented but lost. Carver High, do you buy into Carson Wentz and all this hype that they're going to win the Super Bowl? What is it, Philly against the Browns now in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm not buying into that at all. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Can they win the NFC East? Yeah, sure they can. I think it's going to be between them and the Cowboys. I don't see the Giants and the Redskins being involved in that at all. So I think they're one of the four or five best teams in the NFC this year. I think they'll be in the playoffs. But winning, going to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Redskins.
Until I see that guy play. Now, that guy plays 16 games this year, and he's healthy, and he shows the things he was showing.
Then they could be dangerous.
Before the injury, then sure, maybe they do. I don't believe personally yet, until I see it, that this guy's going to go and play 16 games.
Redskins lost 23-13 to the Bengals tonight. Is this Jay Gruden's last season in D.C.? Because they are not better, and they are not good, and that's just all there is to it. So, like, it's the same old thing that you're seeing. It's just unwrapped. It's like a sandwich been sitting in foil all day. Honestly, it's like, really, it's the same thing. And then everyone will say, no, it isn't. We got Dwayne Haskins. Okay, whatever. He threw a touchdown pass tonight. They still lost. So I don't care. It's a preseason game. But do you think he'll last in D.C. past this year? Because they're not winning it. They'll be lucky if they do better than the Giants, right? Could they be the last place team and then they whack him finally?
They could be. I mean, it's going to depend on Haskins and what he does this year, or, you know, if they throw him in there. And what he shows, if he shows improvement towards, you know, as the year goes on and gets better, and you see maybe a bright spot for her next year, maybe they give him a shot and not try to disrupt the kids, you know, is working into the NFL. But if they just suck and they suck all year and he doesn't look good, sure, get him in and get him out of there, get someone else in there to work with the kid and start his career that way.
So
does it even matter?
No.
Like, does it? Like, seriously, you fire Jay Gruden.
So
what? They are so dysfunctional down there. They never get anything right. They all tell you, you talk to Dukes, you talk to Rooster, you have all these guys on from DC, they tell you the same thing. The organization is completely dysfunctional. They never know what they're doing. They've got a situation now with their Pro Bowl tackle doesn't want to play for him because he doesn't trust the medical staff. You got guys with injury problems, all you know Colt McCoy, Geis, all these guys, you don't
can't
know
keep
when,
star
when
players
playing
there.
The whole thing is a mess. So fire him, don't fire him. The next guy, it'll be the same thing when the next guy comes in. As long as Bruce Allen and Snyder and all these guys are down there, it's going to be the same story over and over for them.
How bad was Kyler Murray tonight, running for his life? I thought I saw him get sacked in the end zone. Here we go. Here's Cliff and Kyler, Cardinals' first team offense this preseason. 5 drives, 2 games. Drive 1, 10 plays, punt. Drive 2, 6 plays, punt. Drive 3, 3 plays, minus 6 yards, punt. Drive 4, 3 plays, minus 10 yards, punt. Drive 5, 3 plays, minus 10 yards, safety. Kyler Murray getting involved as the number one player selected in the entire NFL draft.
Well.
And now in Arizona in 2 games. The first game, though, he was near perfect, wasn't he? And now he looked terrible tonight.
It ain't going to go well.
Not going to go well? So you think he's just going to be all season long running for his life?
Yes, I do.
It looked to me like tonight is, seriously, his passes were terrible. I mean, they were all, he was just overthrowing everybody. He was a mess. 3 of 8, 12 yards, a 1.5 yard average. Is there concern? He was sacked twice and a safety as well. There's got to be, obviously, they're never going to say one bad word about him. They're never going to, Cliff Kingsbury's not going to say, we got a situation here. But let's face facts. This is going to be a long learning curve and a long season for that kid.
As it should be. You know, everyone expected all of a sudden that this team was going to be good and make it, you know, some noise out there because they had a good start to the preseason last week. You're joking yourself. You know, it's a new coach, a guy who's not been in the NFL before, so he's got to work his system in. It's not, you know, everybody's learning. It's not just this kid. So your offensive line's learning, your position players are learning, and sometimes that leads to bad blocking and guys not getting open or not being in the right spots. So some of it's on him, not all of it, and they got to go through growing pains. Because he had a good first position, you know, last week, doesn't mean all of a sudden this kid's going to go all pro in the first season.
So tonight the Raiders beat them 33-26. Mike Glennon had a big game, 175 yards, 2 TDs. They have Nate Peterman on this team. Peterman! Drew Carr was 2 for 2. Peterman 8 for 8. Glennon 11-14. So the Raider quarterbacks tonight were fantastic. And Arizona had Brett Hundley did better, 10 of 15, 139 yards and a touchdown. Kanoff had a touchdown. Drew Anderson had a touchdown. Murray did absolutely nothing. Now, in some of the other games tonight, there were several games. The Ravens beat the Packers 26-13, and it's interesting because now the Ravens are 2-0, and everybody's buying in that the Ravens are going to be so tough because they won 2 preseason games. Lamar Jackson, 6 of 10, 58 yards. Trace McSorley had a touchdown and a pick in that game. No Aaron Rodgers. He did not play tonight because of back tightness or whatever else they made up, injury, making up injuries. He just isn't playing, right? Is that what it boils down to? I think it's just, here, whatever. He's got a migraine. He's not playing. He's got an injury. He's not playing. Back stiffness. I have back stiffness right now.
My back would be pretty stiff, too. I was carrying the bags of money that guy has from that deal.
No kidding. The Chargers and Melvin Gordon have not made progress towards a new deal. Gordon still wants to return in time for the regular season, but he's prepared to sit out, allegedly, if no new deal is reached. Sounds like every single financial disagreement in the NFL's history. Player holds out. Player wants more money. Player threatens to not play the entire season until he gets his money. Then the player gets his money, or the player gets dealt. Packers now 1-1 in the boring preseason that's evolving. Bengals beat the Skins 23-13. The Jets win in Atlanta 22-10. Eagles beat the Jags 24-10. I suppose none of you are fans of your pro football teams. No fans here in the NFL? 855-212-4CBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.